From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Constitution Tuesday, the opening day of Judge Brett Kavanaugh's hearings revealed more about the desperation of the left and their efforts to regain control of government than it did the judicial philosophy of Judge Kavanaugh. In fact, Senator Lindsey Graham said that based on the left's behavior today, it was more of a hypocrisy hearing than a confirmation hearing. Senator Graham, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, joins me in just a moment. Also, a Colorado congressman is calling upon Attorney General Jeff Sessions to investigate the actions of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which is once again targeting Colorado baker Jack Phillips for his Christian faith. Congressman Doug Lamborn is here a little later on Washington Watch. And we're going to take full advantage of the Kavanaugh hearing today as the backdrop for this week's Constitution Tuesday. Class is in session as Professor Ken Klukowski joins me a little later, and we'll also be taking your calls and questions on this Constitution Tuesday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. Let me remind you, coming up very, 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 very soon, the Values Voter Summit, September the 21st through the 23rd. In fact, it is filling up quickly, but we're still got a few seats. I'll save one for you, but you got to call quickly. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over and make sure you are a part of the event for social conservatives in Washington, D.C. and around the nation, as folks will be coming from all over for this. It's a great opportunity to get together with like-minded folks, but also to get not just hear what's happening, but to find out what you can do. We're coming into a very critical election. In fact, if you watched any of the hearing today, it underscored how important each and every election is and what is at stake. All right, again, go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. All right, during the Senate Judiciary Committee's hearing on Supreme Court nominee Judge Brett Kavanaugh today, various Democrats on the committee interrupted the beginning of the hearing. It was a farce. It was embarrassing, actually. I've been in these hearings before. I've actually testified in the past, and I tell you, it was remarkable at how, can I say, undignified, I think, members of the Senate, combined with, I think, an unprecedented level of obstruction, not only from the Democrats, but the interruptions from the audience. Within the first 30 minutes, I think 22 people had to be arrested for interrupting the hearings. Well, joining us now is Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He was in the Senate hearing today. Actually, he was the last senator to make opening remarks. And I thought he was right on target where he said this is not a confirmation hearing. It's more of a hypocrisy hearing. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. I guess the protesters can always get a job with Nike. They seem to be in that stuff.
It was amazing. I understand this was orchestrated. Senator Schumer and others had a conference call.
It was really stupid because, these people stood up and yell. I mean, you know, the election's over. Election has consequences. But here's what I want your listeners to know. This is a fine man. He's going to get confirmed. He's exactly who you'd expect a Republican president to pick. He's the greatest mind of his generation legally, Brett Kavanaugh. Outstanding judicial record, conservative judge. The people that we would choose from, or he's at the top of any list. So what are the Democrats saying? You know, Kamala Harris, fine lady, like her a lot. She says, you've lived your life as a partisan hack. You're nothing but an ideologue. Who do they pick, Tony? Justice Breyer, do you know who he worked for? He's a fine man. He worked for Ted Kennedy.
Right.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the general counsel of the ACLU. Where do they go to pick their judges? They go to their liberal bench. We have a conservative bench. They claim foul when President Trump says, I'm going to pick judges who will overturn Roe v. Wade. What did Clinton say during the campaign? I want a Supreme Court that will stick with Roe v. Wade and a woman's right to choose. We need a Supreme Court that will stand up on behalf of women's rights. It is important that we not reverse Roe v. Wade. I have a litmus test, a bunch of litmus tests, because the next president could get as many as three appointments. We've got to make sure to preserve Roe v. Wade, not nibble away at it. This is Hillary Clinton. It's okay for her to say these things. What you should do is pick a judge who will look at a case in controversy and apply the law to it. That's what Kavanaugh will do. The hypocrisy runs deep. When Clinton was being investigated, they never called to stop hearings for Breyer.
Right.
Okay. So enough already.
Yeah, and it was interesting, the 4 points that repeatedly came up. You mentioned Roe v. Wade. They wanted to talk about Roe v. Wade, reproductive rights. They wanted to talk about the environmental issues.
They promised to pick a judge that would never reverse it. That's what she said 3 times.
And they talked about the Second Amendment, and they talked about Obamacare. The 4 areas that they've been relying upon the courts to do their work because the legislature's not there.
Okay, Dianne Feinstein, nice lady. She is genuine about her feelings about assault weapons bans and high-capacity clips. She introduced legislation in 2013 to ban assault rifles, and it was 60 no votes, including 16 Democrats. They can't win at the ballot box. They can't win legislatively, so they turn into the court. And this is so odd. When Clinton's under investigation, it's okay for him to pick a Supreme Court judge, not for Trump. When they get to pick people to, you know, on their side, they go to people who've been working for Democratic politicians. It's not okay for us to pick people from the Republican lane. This is really absurd. When Clinton's under investigation, you should not even think about indicting a sitting president. If you don't believe me, ask Judge Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, you quoted from
Joe Biden quoted Brett Kavanaugh right. In 1998 or 99.
Saying that they should not touch Bill Clinton while he's in office if he's going to be indicted. It's once he leaves office. He was saying that back then. And now the Democrats, they praised him then, but now they want to take issue with him. Now, you talked about his record. You say he's the most qualified, and you said if there's anything Donald Trump has done that he's done right, it's the picks that he's made for the courts.
He's done a lot right, but these two are the best.
And you said that today in the hearing. The fact that his 12-year judicial record, where he has over 300 opinions, that was mentioned about 26 times. What was mentioned the most? First off, you had 69 mentions of Donald Trump. You had 63 interruptions, and you had 129 complaints about documents. Now you got 500,000 documents, and I doubt that they've read a tenth of those. But here's my point, Senator Graham. This is the same party of Nancy Pelosi that had to pass the 2,300-page Obamacare bill and then read it. And they're all now concerned about reading 1 million pages of documents before they can take up the hearings of Brett Kavanaugh. Something's not right there.
Number one, he went through confirmation back in 2006. They looked at his record then. We've given more documents to the Democrats for Kavanaugh than the last 5 Supreme Court nominees combined. He's had 307 decisions. It's not like he's going to sneak up on you. If there was ever a well-defined judge in America, it's Brett Kavanaugh. Defined in a way that you and I like. Nobody on the left would have picked him. Right? Nobody on our side would have picked Sotomayor and Kagan. All of a sudden, it's okay to lose an election, but it's not okay to pick a conservative. What do you expect a conservative Republican president to do? Pick a Brett Kavanaugh. They're trying to basically overturn the election through this process of interruption, and we're not going to let them do it. Brett Kavanaugh is going to be on the Supreme Court.
In the point that you made, you said that you voted for Sotomayor and Kagan. I testified against Kagan as one of the outside witnesses in her hearing. You voted for both of them. You said you took a lot of grief. I'm not going to say
the game's changed, right?
And that's what you said. They were qualified for the post. You didn't agree with them politically, ideologically, but they were qualified for the post. That's not the case now. This is not about the qualifications.
Absolutely not. Those days are over. Scalia got 96 votes. Ginsburg got like 97 votes. We're in a land of partisanship. Advising consent in the Democratic world means a Republican president can't choose a qualified conservative. That's what they're telling the country.
Let me ask you about this, Senator Graham, because I, you know, as I was watching the hearings, I was not in the room, but as I was watching the hearings, I was, and I know that this, you know, the Antifa and the resist movement, you know, it's all about these public displays and interrupting things and burning things and tearing things down. It was unprecedented, a number of interruptions today in the committee hearings as members were trying to make their opening statements. Was there any discussion about clearing the room and not having the audience?
Well, Senator Grassley's done a marvelous job of being more than fair. Again, more documents given in the Kavanaugh nomination than the last five Supreme Court nominees combined. Very tolerant when it came to the people in attendance. But we've got a country to run here. There, you have the right to free speech, but you can't see fire in the theater. Isn't there a right to be to listen? I mean, at the end of the day, this probably hurt their cause. It didn't help it. If you're looking for anarchy, then they're representing anarchy.
I agree. And I hope that all of America will take just a moment to see if it's just the highlights of today's hearings, because I think it shows the desperation of the left and what they will do to try to take power in this country and how they will use it. I think the president touched on this last week when he was talking to evangelicals about the intensity of the left to undo everything that's been done in the last 2 years, which includes the economy. I think people should take note. This is not just about Brett Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court. This is about a left who feels entitled to run this country, and they don't like the direction it's going.
Well, they can't win at the ballot box, and they're losing the narrative, so they're shouting. The louder you shout, probably the less you have to say. The bottom line here is that President Trump has chosen wisely twice. I hope he does get another pick. He's done an outstanding job, and I told my Democratic colleagues, elections have consequences. I hope we understand that. If we lose in 2020, they're going to pick the most liberal people they can find, and everybody will applaud them for it.
Yes, absolutely. The confirmation process, will it conclude before the end of the month? You think you'll be on the court?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there are 100 senators. There are only 11 undecided. They've got enough already to vote no. They've all 41 Democrats have said they would vote no. You've got 3 Republicans that are undecided. I hope they'll vote for Kavanaugh. I believe they will. You couldn't have chosen better from our side. And the 8 Democrats have political calculations. I think we'll get about 55 votes for Kavanaugh. And I said this, if you're a Democrat running for president in 2020 and you voted for Kavanaugh, you wouldn't get 1%. So this is how sad it's become. Yeah. And if you don't agree with Hillary Clinton's statement about Roe v. Wade, you might as well not run. So, you know, we're going to get this man confirmed.
We are definitely a divided country when it comes
to
not just party.
Yes, we are, and he's a good choice from a Republican point of view.
Senator Lindsey Graham, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming on and giving us the play-by-play from today.
Stay tuned. Thanks.
All right. We will definitely be staying tuned. All right, folks. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who was in the hearing room today. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on Constitution Tuesday. We're going to be actually taking a look at the Human Rights Commission in Colorado. Congressman Doug Lamborn is here. He's calling upon the Attorney General to investigate them. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, you can follow the links over there, not only to the Values Voter Summit coming up September the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, but the Stand Firm app. It is the tool that every activist needs in their toolbox. It will keep you informed, engaged, and connected with what is happening and help you preserve this republic of ours. Right. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow links over, or just go to the App Store, Stand Firm app. All right? All right, we've talked about this a number of times. In fact, we had Mike Ferris, the CEO of Alliance Defending Freedom, on a couple of weeks ago talking about this. Colorado cake artist Jack Phillips has been fighting government hostility toward his religious beliefs for more than 6 years, standing for his freedom, our freedom, your freedom to live and work peacefully according to his Christian faith. Went all the way to the Supreme Court and prevailed, 7-2. Well, that didn't stop the Colorado Civil Rights Commission that has gone after him once again. Well, last week, Congressman Doug Lamborn said enough's enough. He sent a letter to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, calling for the Department of Justice to investigate the anti-religious bias of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Now, the Civil Rights Commission has targeted small business owners and in particular Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop in an attempt to discredit his religious beliefs and literally destroy his business. With us now is Congressman Doug Lamborn. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Colorado. Doug, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always good to talk with you and your listeners.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you. I know that you stepped out after the Attorney General announced his task force for religious freedom design, which was a part of really the president's call and his executive order to protect religious freedom. You said, look, here's a prime example of how a government entity is attacking someone's Orthodox Christian faith. So what's the status of your inquiry with the Attorney General?
Well, I just filed it the other day, Tony, so we haven't gotten a response back yet, but I'm optimistic that the Department of Justice will look into what I think are outrageous discriminatory acts by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission.
Well, in the testimony before the United States Supreme Court in the previous case, that bias was evident in the descriptive terms and the negative statements that were made about Jack Phillips' faith. So it was clear that they were not a independent, unbiased, objective body. They look like they have an agenda.
They really do, Tony. I think they're out of control, and they really need to be investigated. You know, if the tables were turned, if someone went to a gay baker and said, hey, make me an anti-gay cake, that person would turn them down, and no one would say anything. No one would think twice about it. And the Civil Rights Commission undoubtedly would not hammer them like they've done now that the with Jack Phillips, now that the roles are reversed.
You know, I have some, you know, beyond the Jack Phillips case, I have some concerns with commissions like this that, as you make reference to in your letter to the Attorney General, you know, they have a near monopoly on the way these things operate. And in fact, they're almost, it's like they're judge and jury. They can make up regulations, rules. They can go after people for violating these rules, and then they can penalize them for the rules they violate.
Well, and besides all that, Tony, they are unelected. They're not accountable to the voters in any way at all. And so I think that feeds their arrogance and their sense of empowerment.
Right. It's a 7-member commission supposed to be bipartisan, appointed by the governor. And I assume confirmed by the Senate. I know you were in the Senate in Colorado a number of years ago before joining Congress. So I assume that are they confirmed by the Senate?
I believe they are, yes.
Now, the power that they've been given, though, is quite, troubling. As I said, they can make these rules, they enforce the rules, and they adjudicate. I mean, you go before them, and they're the one. They're the judge, jury, and executioner.
And that's exactly right. And they haven't learned their lesson. They were slapped down by the U.S. Supreme Court, like you said, a 7-2 decision, and yet they've learned nothing from that. They're turning around and pretty much on the same basis as before, going after Jack Phillips once again. And remember, if your listeners don't know this, Jack Phillips will sell anything in his store to anyone who walks in the door. There's
right.
absolutely no discrimination. It's just that when someone asks to have a special creation made using his artistic expression, that he seeks the right to use his religious beliefs as to whether he does that or not. But everything else is fair game for anyone to buy, who, no matter who they are.
I mean, Congressman Lamborn, let me just ask you. I mean, the Supreme Court slapped down the Civil Rights Commission 7-2, but then they immediately began to pursue other charges against Jack Phillips. I mean, this looks like they're retaliating against him because he won before the Supreme Court.
That's the way it looks to me, and that's why I've called on the Department of Justice to investigate what appears to me and appears to you to be anti-religious hostility. And that is totally against what they're supposed to stand for.
Well, Congressman Lamborn, we certainly want to follow this. And when you get your response back from the Department of Justice, I'd be happy to have you come back on and talk about this, because I think this is something people across the country need to be aware of, what these commissions are doing and how they're trampling upon these fundamental freedoms. So, Doug, thanks so much for joining us today.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado, and a real champion for religious freedom. He's on the House Armed Services Committee. We've worked with him on a number of cases as it pertains to religious freedom in our nation's military. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about today's hearing on Brett Kavanaugh before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. And then we're going to be joined a bit later by Ken Klukowski as class will be in session on this Constitution Tuesday. We'll be taking your phone calls as well in that final segment. So be thinking of the questions you want to ask about the process or the Constitution, whatever. Don't go away. We're coming right back after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just the tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. Did I tell you Value Voter Summit's coming up? September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. You don't want to miss it. You can be a part of it. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow links over to be a part of this year's Values Voter Summit. Okay, I'm gonna go back to the hearing, and in just a little bit we're gonna be joined by Ken Kulkowski. We're gonna do our Constitution Tuesday. The unprecedented level of obstructionism that we were talking about, and that's been going on all along, but I mean it really, in an unprecedented way, spilled over into the hearing this morning. In fact, they tried to adjourn the meeting. They wanted to cancel the hearing. Here's an exchange from today with Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut and the chairman of the committee, Senator Grassley of Iowa. Listen to this.
If there is no vote on this motion, which has been properly seconded and which could be given a vote in executive session, this process will be tainted and stained forever. I'm asking, as a member of this committee, it's my right to do so, that we vote on my motion to adjourn and Senator Harris's motion to postpone, and that we do it in executive session, which can be easily and quickly convened right now.
Yeah. The motion is out of order.
I don't understand. It won't take that much time. What is the rush? What are we afraid of to hold a vote on the motions before us?
It was clear that Senator Grassley, the chairman of the committee, was getting frustrated as basically they took control. The Democratic members took control of the committee for the first, I would say, almost hour. And they never even got down to the business of the opening statements. It was this trying to adjourn, delay, interspersed with interruptions from the audience, people screaming, having to be escorted out by the Capitol Police. Later on, Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska kind of really kind of gave a lesson, which was very insightful, of how we got to this point and why and what was driving this. Let's play clip one of Senator Sasse.
It's pretty obvious to most people going about their work today that the deranged comments actually don't have anything to do with you. So we should figure out, why do we talk like this about Supreme Court nominations now? There's a bunch that's atypical in the last 19, 20 months in America. Senator Klobuchar's right. The comments from the White House yesterday about trying to politicize the Department of Justice, they were wrong and they should be condemned. And my guess is Brett Kavanaugh would condemn them. But really, the reason these hearings don't work is not because of Donald Trump. It's not because of anything the last 20 months. These confirmation hearings haven't worked for 31 years in America.
Bingo. It goes all the way back to Judge Robert Bork, when the court, because of in the wake of Roe v. Wade. Now understand, stay with me. Stick with me. It's what Senator Graham and I were talking about earlier. The four talking points the Democrats had today was reproductive rights, Roe v. Wade, the environment, global warming. It was gun control, the Second Amendment, and it was Obamacare. Those four things that they have to rely upon the court to do, to institute, to protect. I mean, Roe v. Wade, you go back to 1973 when the court imposed abortion on demand on this country, all the way through pregnancy. That was not America. It's still not America. America is more divided today over the issue of abortion than it was in 1973. Why? Because the court stepped in and did what they cannot do, create consensus. That's why the founders understood these issues should be worked through the legislative branch, where you can arrive at consensus. Now, you don't always do it. But when the court interjects itself and one side chooses the court to be the creator and maintainer of their policies that are outside the mainstream, that's when you have the division. And that's when the court becomes really the crown jewel of government. And it was never intended to be that way. The same can be said of marriage. The court's redefinition of marriage did not settle the issue. In fact, I predict 40 years from now, if that ruling stands, it will still be as divisive as Roe v. Wade, because it's counter to natural law and counter to the moral law of God. You see, that's why these hearings have become so contentious and why the court has become so all-important in our process. It was never intended to be that way. Okay, when we come back, Professor Ken Kulkowski joins me as class will be in session. We'll be taking your phone calls. You got a question about today's hearing, got a question about the Constitution, a question about how all this is supposed to work together. The professor is here. We're going to talk about it here on Washington Watch. The number 866-372-7234. When we return, your phone calls here on this Constitution Tuesday here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. Right, you may or may not have heard this today, but Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona has appointed John Kyle, former senator of Arizona, who retired, I think in 2013. They've appointed him to take the place of the late Senator John McCain, who was buried over the weekend. And so, and I've worked with John Kyle. He's great. He's a good guy. Everybody's going to, and he'll jump right in and take off, so there won't be any problem there. He says he'll serve through the end of the year, which means if he doesn't serve out the remainder of the term, that there will have to be another appointment. Anyway. Thought you might want to know that. Let me go back here. I'm actually trying to connect with Ken. I haven't gotten him on just yet. Let's hear another clip from Ben Sasse, Senator of Nebraska, as he was continuing. I kind of jumped in there. He had more to say as he was kind of educating his colleagues and the public. Let's play that. I guess it's the second clip of Ben Sasse.
People are going to pretend that Americans have no historical memory, and supposedly there haven't been screaming protesters saying women are going to die at every hearing for decades. But this has been happening since Robert Bork. This is a 31-year tradition. There's nothing really new the last 18 months.
This is what it's about. As I was saying earlier, this is about them maintaining control of policies that they cannot get through the legislative branch. They cannot arrive at consensus, so they use the court, and that's why it's, number one, it's become very divisive, but number two, in their world, it's become, you know, as I said, the crown jewel of government. They have to have the courts, and so they're coming unhinged with the thought that they're going to lose the courts for a generation. And there's a very good likelihood that there could be another vacancy on the court before the end of President Trump's first term in office. And just keep in mind that a lot of this is laying the groundwork for that potential vacancy. All right, there's another clip of Ben Sasse. I want to play that another clip of what he had to say, because Ben is a very sharp guy, and he knows history, he knows government, and he's able to put it together that speaks with great clarity. Play clip number three of Senator Sasse.
The fact that the hysteria has nothing to do with you means that we should ask, what's the hysteria coming from? The hysteria around Supreme Court confirmation hearings is coming from the fact that we have a fundamental misunderstanding of the role of the Supreme Court in American life now. Our political commentary talks about the Supreme Court like there are people wearing red and blue jerseys. That's a really dangerous thing. And by the way, if they have red and blue jerseys, I would welcome my colleagues to introduce the legislation that ends lifetime tenure for the judiciary. Because if they're just politicians, then the people should have power, and they shouldn't have lifetime appointments. So until you introduce that legislation, I don't believe you really want the Supreme Court to be a politicized body, though that's the way we constantly talk about it now.
So I wonder if they were lining up to sign up for the legislation that would limit the lower courts, the Supreme Court, obviously a constitutionally created body. But I wonder if they're ready to end lifetime tenure of judges. I doubt, seriously. All right, joining me now is Ken Klukowski, best-selling author, senior counsel, and director of strategic affairs for First Liberty Institute, and fellow and senior legal analyst with the American Civil Rights Union. Professor Ken Klukowski, welcome back.
Tony, thanks for having me.
All right, before we take some phone calls, by the way, folks, you can phone in with your questions that you might have on the process or even today's hearings, 866-372-7234. I just know how your mind works. You capture all these facts and figures. You know every court case going back to 1789. Let's talk about the way today unfolded. Has there ever been anything like it with the number of interruptions from the audience and the obstruction from the members of the minority party?
No, there has not. I saw, and I don't know if the counter has been updated since then, but there were a couple sources that were tracking the number of interruptions, and the last count I saw was 62. Which you think more about a State of the Union address where the president's getting interrupted by applause? Absolutely not. And as Senator Mike Lee explained during his remarks today, which were more academic and historical, where he pointed out that the first time the Senate even held a hearing on Supreme Court nominees was actually the year 1916. That's 1-6, not 6-0. When over half of the nominees in American history had never received a hearing because of so many 60-some that happened from the founding of the country through 1916. And he said that the first time that a nominee actually appeared before the Senate, they had 20 years of hearings without actually hearing from the nominee. The first time that anyone actually heard from a Supreme Court nominee was in the 1930s. So the Republic, I think these hearings can be very valuable. I wish they could go back to the days or maybe be elevated to the point where they could be great civics lessons about what the Constitution is about and what the American form of government is about, but that for most of our republic's history, you didn't have any of these hearings, so certainly you couldn't have had any interruptions. In the decades that we have had hearings, the hearings have, for the most part, they have been short, not multi-day, they have been short, they've been collegial. There's been some light humor. I mean, it was a serious discussion, but it was done between people, including from both parties, in good faith. What we saw today was just extraordinary. And what is shocking and I think shameful about it is not that it was just some ill-mannered grassroots activists screaming at the top of their lungs from the back of the room, but it was what actually leaked during the committee hearing. Tweets were read and whatnot saying that there were Democratic senators on a conference call over the weekend where they planned this, where this was deliberately premeditated by people elected to the U.S. Senate so that it could tee up, as Dick Durbin said, that what we're hearing is the noise of democracy. Well, it's the noise that he actually whipped up with his buddies to be mean and disruptive and to shout horrible things and just to try and blow up this whole process.
All right. We're going to take some phone calls here, Professor Klukowski. And so I want you to put on your professorial hat. As class is in session now. 866-372-7234, and let's go to Rodrigo in Illinois or Iowa? In Iowa. Rodrigo, go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. Question and clarification, but it is my understanding, according to our Constitution, that judges are not allowed on appointment. But they are appointed.
I'm sorry, you broke up. Can you say that again? Your words were garbled. That judges are what?
Judges are not technically a lifetime appointment, but aren't they an appointment until they retire or until they no longer are doing a good job, or I should say, until they're no longer fulfilling their duties? Is that
No. The term in the Constitution is that they will hold their offices during good behavior. That's the exact wording. And ever since the first judges, ever since the 1700s, the understanding with the framers was that what good behavior meant was that they were not engaged in serious criminal activity. So the way we've always understood that for the past more than two centuries has been that if a judge gets convicted of a felony, not even a misdemeanor, and not accused of a felony, but actually convicted of a felony, then that person is impeached by the U.S. House and removed by the U.S. Senate unless they have the decency to resign. In U.S. history, there have been, I believe, 15 judges who have been impeached, and seven have been removed from office, such as, for example, I'm thinking of one judge who got removed after being convicted of bribery, and then he got elected to Congress and now serves as a Democratic congressman from Florida.
Yeah, so, but Rodrigo, the Constitution does not state a term of office for them, so it has been interpreted to be lifelong, a lifetime appointment.
Yes, that's right, lifelong unless they become convicted as serious criminals.
Right, and my point earlier is that the Supreme Court is a creation of the Constitution. The lower courts are created by Congress because they're given the authority to create them.
Yes.
All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, my question is, can the president, does he have the authority to do like an executive order or whatever to stop the co-ed bathrooms that are endangering our kids to start doing misbehavior more from both sides, girls or boys, are threats of misbehavior? Because right now everything's going to the left, and the federal funding coming in should be for all the people in that district. They either should be allowed to vote if that's what they want in their schools, or the president should step in and say, we are going to harm the kids. I want to see if he's got a way of stopping this to the goes through the legal system.
Well, I appreciate your question. The short answer is no. Congress could do that. When it comes to whether someone could forfeit federal funding for it, Congress could amend its funding laws to attach that sort of conditions. All an executive order can do, because we don't live in a monarchy, the president is not a king. An executive order is where the president orders the federal employees who work under him in the executive executive branch of the federal government, where he can order them to do or not do certain things to better carry out Congress's laws, Congress's functions. So executive orders actually have very little scope along those lines. Education is mostly a state issue, so that's left to state and local control. And again, the only real hook that you have is through federal funding, and that's something where Congress controls the purse strings. That's why the guidance documents that the Obama administration had put out were such a radical expansion of executive authority when they were trying to cram transgenderism down the throats of local schools, that there is no conservative way to do it through direct right. presidential action.
Mary, thanks so much for the call. The issue there is it comes down to the local school board and parents there locally. Now, As Ken, as you were saying, the Obama administration put out the letter of instruction or intent, whatever they called it. It really didn't have the force of law, but knowing how they operated, it intimidated schools into that policy. That was all rescinded by the Trump administration. So the Trump administration has done everything they can do to bring it back to basically equilibrium. Now you have, like in Kansas, in Kansas City, you had the local school making this decision, and that's where the parents, and as conservatives, you know, we don't want all-intrusive, all-powerful federal government. We want the state and local governments to have most of the authority and the ability to allow people to determine the path that they want their communities to take. All right, we're going to take a couple more calls here, Ken, before we run out of time. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Thanks for your great guest you have tonight. And a couple questions. Will the senator from Arizona, newly appointed, be able to vote? Is there any reason to think he won't get the 50 votes for Kavanaugh? And do you have a date in mind you think he might be confirmed by? Thanks for your time. I'll listen to you off the air.
All right. Thanks for the call, Joe. Go ahead, Ken.
You bet. Doug Ducey, the governor of Arizona, announced today that he is appointing former Senator John Kyle back to the U.S. Senate, not back to his old seat, but rather back to the other Senate seat that belonged to his good-time friend John McCain. Senator Kyle is just a typical conservative Republican senator. He is also a central player currently in the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. With any good Republican senator, there would be absolutely no doubt, and there is certainly zero doubt when it comes to John Kyle, as to which way he's going to vote. There's the only way the Democrats, with John Kyle now in the Senate, the only way Democrats can stop Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation would be to get both Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski to vote against him and every single Democrat to vote against him. I mean, the reality is that there's just every reason to expect. They're not announcing their decision until after the committee hearings, but there is every reason to expect that Senators Collins and Murkowski are fully right. intending to yeah. vote for Judge Kavanaugh. I expect he will be confirmed, I think, probably Thursday, September 27th. Though it could be any time during
right.
that week.
Hey, Ken, we got to leave it there. We're up against the end of the show, but here's
Thank
what I want
you,
to
Tony.
Do. Hold on there. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get you to come back on again tomorrow because we're going to take some more calls. The hearings continue tomorrow. We've got callers who want to ask more questions. So, folks, sorry I didn't get to all the calls, but tomorrow we'll do the same. So don't miss tomorrow's program. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you could do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.